Jesus tells us to take up our cross and follow him. You're listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities, and it is our aim to lead you to the cross through the teaching of God's Word.
Come break our culture, tear down our pride. Lord, take your church and purify. Oh, we are ready to stand in your love. Come, King Jesus, deliver us. Oh, my King is coming. Restless hearts, be still.
We started in James 1, and let's pick it up. Let's pray before we start, though. Father, we just want to come before you and thank you, Lord, for guys like James, guys who are straightforward and plain-spoken and take the principles in your word and just lay them out so that we can see them clearly. And Lord, as we're going through your word this evening, we pray that that's exactly what would happen. We would see clearly. And Lord, some of the things that have been foggy to us, some of the things that have kind of overwhelmed us or gotten us into a place where maybe we're doubting you and that kind of thing, Lord, we just pray that you take that fog away. And Lord, that you'd help us to follow you with a whole heart. The whole book is about faith and just trusting you. And so Lord, that's what we want to do. We want to trust you. So we give you the time, pray that you bless it, and ask that you just speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, book of James, and actually, you know what, I gotta get to my notes here because I got a bunch of stuff in here. I didn't mark it out right. Okay, let's do it. Let's do it right here. You know, we started off, let's just start off again just to get some context. It says, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. And what this lets you know is that he's writing to Jews. He's not writing to Christians, he's writing to Jews. This is one of the earliest books in the New Testament. And it was probably written before a lot of the Gentiles came into faith in Christ. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. See that word trial there? It's a word that means test. It's the same word, or actually it comes from the same word that is used for tempt down in verse 13. See, in verse 13, let no one say when he's tempted, I am tempted by God. I'm going to talk about that in just a minute. There's basically two different types of tests that are being spoken about in this passage. And the first one is the one that God allows in your life so that you can have a different life, so that you can have a better life. And so he says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. And so there are tests that we go through as Christians, and there is a purpose to the test. And the purpose for the test is that I would have patience. And the word patience just means, you know, basically it just means stick-to-itiveness. Being able to endure under stress is basically what patience is all about. Do we want to endure under stress? Do we want to have patience? And if that's what you want, then you're going to have to go through trials. That's where you get those things. And, you know, here I am with a sports analogy, but no pain, no gain. That's the idea. You know, every time that I've ever lifted, you know, I'll lift for a while and then I'll stop and then I'll lift for a while and I'll stop. And when you start lifting, what happens is you start hurting like right here really bad. You know, when you're doing the bench, or you know, whenever you're doing whatever you're doing squats, you're gonna hurt on the inside of your legs. That's the way that it goes. It's gonna be painful, and it's gonna be painful for a while. And then what happens is you get stronger and stronger as time goes on. And it's the same way in growing as a believer. There are things that you go through that are gonna cause you pain. And the reason that God allows them isn't because he's up in heaven laughing at you and doesn't want you to have a good life. The reason that he allows those things in your life is because he knows what your life is going to be. He knows the things that are going to be coming up on you, the things that you're going to have to be dealing with in 5 and 10 and 20 years. And he prepares you for that stuff. You know, basically trials are like practice. It's like going to practice. I loved football. I loved track. I hated wrestling. Actually, the practice I hated the most was wrestling because it was so gross. We did these things that were called spinners. And what you do is you get one guy on his hands and knees, and you get another guy on top of him, and you put your chest on the middle of his back, and then you spin around him like that. And so, I would go to wrestling practice, and when you did that, you had to do it with your shirt off. Because if you got your shirt on, all that's going to happen is it's going to get all clogged up and stuff like that. And so here I am with my chest on this dude's back, and I'm all sweaty, and he's all sweaty, and they got the heat in the wrestling room turned up to like 150 degrees, and then we're supposed to do these spins around this guy. Grossest thing ever. Grossest thing ever. I hated wrestling practice. Everything that they did, I hated it. I like the meets, because you got to grab somebody and throw them in the mat and stuff, or you got thrown in the mat yourself. And so I like that. But practice is something that you have to do so that when you get in the game or when you get in the match, you're going to be able to perform. And that's basically what trials are for. And so if I'm going to walk as a Christian, if I'm going to be able to do the things that God wants me to do, I'm going to have to go through trials. And it's just the way that it is. It says in the passage, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. And then verse 4, it says, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So does that mean that I might not be able to, I might be in a position where I cannot let patience have its perfect work? And I'd submit to you that yes, that's absolutely the truth. There are people who go through one trial after another trial after another trial after another trial, and they're all the same trials. And the reason that they keep going through the same trials over and over is because they haven't learned a lesson. They're not allowing the point of the trial to come through on the whole thing. It's basically God going, take another lap. Take another lap. Take another lap. We'd have guys on the football team who just had an attitude. They wouldn't last very long, but, we'd have guys that had an attitude. And if the coach got any attitude from you, he'd just go take a lap. And then he'd look at you when you got done with your first lap. And if your attitude wasn't changed, he'd go take another one. And if your attitude wasn't changed after the next one, he'd go take another one. That's just how my coaches were. They didn't, the kids didn't have moms who would call up and get all mad about the whole thing. Actually, the kids didn't want their moms to call up. But, it was one of those things where the guy hasn't learned a lesson. The guy hasn't figured the thing out. And so what he's got to do is keep running until he does. And obviously, as believers, we don't want to be people who have to take another lap. Learn it quickly. Learn it fast. So that you go through as little pain as possible. He says in verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Sometimes when you're going through trials, they require wisdom. There have been a number of times when I've gone through trials, and it's like, I've been here before, and I've done this before, and I already know the answer, and God, I don't get it. Have you ever had that happen? And so, when I'm going through a trial and it's a first-timer, I get it. I understand. Okay, I don't know anything about this thing that I'm going through. I don't know anything about what's happening here. And obviously, God has something to teach me. And so I'm cool with that. But if I'm going through a trial where I already know the end of the whole thing, and I know what's going on, and I know what the answers are supposed to be, and, I somewhat think that I've got this thing down, sometimes I'm sitting there going, God, I don't understand this. Why am I going through this again? When I was first a Christian, I'll just use my financial stuff. I think that God takes people through financial trials specifically to show them that he's really real. One of the areas that that really impact us is in our wallet or in our pocketbook. And that's where stuff gets down and dirty and it really gets real. And when I first became a Christian, one of the things that God was trying to teach me was that I needed to be trusting in him and not trusting in my job. And so I would be reading passages in the Bible that would talk about, I need to be seeking the Lord and that God would guide me and that God would provide for my needs. Some of those are in Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount, and that God would provide for my needs and that kind of thing. And instead of trusting my job or my bank account, which I didn't have much of either, that I needed to be trusting in him. And all mixed up with that was the whole issue of tithing and giving. And so at the same time, God was teaching me about giving. And, you know, I'm going through my Bible and I'm seeing how much a believer is supposed to give. And I was just like, this is crazy. It's a crazy amount of money. You know what I can do with this stuff? And God was teaching me to trust him in the midst of that whole thing. Well, what happened was I started taking God at his word. And instead of going, I can't give this week because I don't have enough money, what God started speaking to me about was you needed to trust me in this. And you need to ask me to provide for you. And so what I started doing was going, okay, God, if I give my tithe this week, then what's going to end up happening is I can't pay the electric bill. And if I can't pay the electric bill, it's going to look bad, Lord. And so I don't want to be in a position where I'm not glorifying you, or somebody down at the electric company knows my name, or something like that. And so, God, you're going to have to come through. And guess what happened every single time? God would come through. I'm not going to go through every single story, but I would literally get money in the mail, in envelopes with no return address. I'd get money in the mail. It happened more than one time. And I never told anybody what I was going through. Never. And what God did with that was he showed me that he's really real and he really will take care of me. Okay, so I go through this whole thing, and actually I got a bunch of stories that have to do with that. I got myself in a position one time where I wasn't seeking God on some stuff, and I ended up giving up my apartment, having to live with my grandmother for a month, and you know, all this stuff happened because God was taking me through these trials. So I get through all these trials, and I understand, okay, God, you're the one in charge here. I need to trust you in all this stuff. I need to seek you before I make these decisions, and I need to trust that you're going to take care of me. Got it. And then I get married. And all of a sudden, I'm going through every single one of those trials again. And I'm sitting there going, are you kidding me? We just did this a couple of years ago. I trust you, God. Meanwhile, my wife is freaking out. We're brand new married, and you know, it was in Southern California down in the early 80s, and the economy had just tanked, and I was in construction, and so everything was a mess. And I didn't have huge problems going through it, but we went through, let's see, we got married in February, and it was all the way to November. So from February all the way through November, I didn't have a steady job, and I just got married. And it was on again, off again, work and that kind of stuff. And at the end of that period of time, what ended up happening was my wife realized that God was going to take care of us, so Bobby married me, poor lady. And so she had to go through some of the same financial trials that I went through because of stuff that was going to go on in our life. And not only that, Bobby's mom had a daughter who married me. And so she's sitting there looking at how my life goes, and now I'm supposed to be taking care of her daughter, and it looks like a big, huge mess to her, and like, you know, I'm some crazy guy who doesn't know what he's talking about, right? And what ends up happening, I'm not going to give you the whole story, but what ends up happening at the end of that whole thing, there was the last month that we were going through those things, basically God led me through the whole month, and it's hard to tell you without telling you the whole story. But basically, he got us through the whole month. Our rent had gone up double, and I had not been working for 4 weeks out of a 5 week month, and not even looking for work, because at the time God had told me not to do it, and it didn't have a lot to do with me, it had a lot to do with other people. But he told me not to look for work, and at the end of the month, I got a job. And the way I got a job was a dude called me on the phone. And at the beginning of the month, my mother-in-law had said to my wife, what's he doing? Not looking for work. What's he think's going to happen? Somebody's just going to call him on the phone? And that's exactly what happened. And I'm not saying that I cruised through that and everything was fine, because I was freaking out that last month too, because the whole thing with don't look for work really freaked me out, because that's bum stuff. You know, if you're not working, your job should be looking for work. But God had me doing some other stuff during the time. In any case, what ended up happening at the end of that whole thing is my mother-in-law and my father-in-law knew that if I told them that God told me something, it was gospel. That was their attitude from that point on. For the whole rest of the time that I knew these people, until they went home to be with the Lord, it's like if Steve said that God told him, that's it. You can take that to the bank. And so it was a really cool thing, because what ended up happening was, you know, obviously me and my wife have gone through things in ministry, but for my mother-in-law, my father-in-law, one of the reasons that they really came to the Lord and one of the real reasons that they really followed Jesus in the way that the Bible calls us to is because they saw Jesus at work in our lives. And he was using that. Trials have a point. And sometimes you're going through the same trial that you went through a couple of years ago, but maybe the trial's not all for you. Maybe it's for some of the people around you too who are watching the whole thing. And so we could go through every, you know, every permutation of that, but again, there's a point to it, and you don't have to do it the way that God wants you to. You can opt out of the trial. You can walk off the track, basically. You can opt out of the trial and never get the understanding. Now, obviously for me, the whole financial thing, this is a reason that God was taking us through it, and I didn't know it at the time. I didn't know I was going to be a pastor. I didn't know that I was going to do any of this stuff at all during that time. And one of the things that I'm committed to is you'll never know my needs, and you'll never know the church's needs, because that's, to me, nothing but manipulation. And you know, and if somebody came up to me and said, hey, you guys need this or you guys need that, you know, I'm not saying that I'm freaky about the whole thing because I don't mind sharing things with people, but you're never gonna see me up front here going, well, this is a list of the church's needs. And by the way, we have a little thermometer over here. And you know, you're never gonna see that from me because you're not the one who provides. Jesus is the one who provides. And that's the stuff that he taught me when I was first a believer. And so all the stuff that you see around here, the land, and this isn't even all of it. We own the Midtown Plaza. We own a ranch down in Oregon. We've got all this stuff that God has provided. And I haven't had to once, not once, ask anybody for anything. Because Jesus is the one who takes care of it. And obviously, does God use you? Yes, he uses you. But what God does is he moves on hearts of people so that they have giving hearts. And I don't have to say nothing because I can trust him, right? And so the same stuff that, and obviously the reason I was going through some of those trials was so that I would get to the place where I'm at right now without begging, right? And God can do, God wants to do exactly the same thing for all of us. God's the one who's in charge of our lives, and God's the one who provides for us. He's the one who takes care of us, right? Okay, and so you can trust him with it. And sometimes you're going through trials specifically so that you trust God. And again, this whole book is about faith, and faith means something. It means putting trust in someone, and the one we're supposed to put trust in is the Lord. So there are times when you're going through a trial and you don't really understand what's going on, and what you are allowed to do, verse 5, is ask for wisdom at that point. God, I don't know why I'm going through this. And sometimes that's a sickness, and sometimes it's financial difficulty, and sometimes it's difficulty at your job, sometimes it's difficulty in your marriage. You know, there can be all kinds of things that you're going through, and sometimes you just literally don't know why you're going through it. And when I don't know why I'm going through something, I go to the Lord, and I go, God, what do you got to show me? And you know what? Sometimes he tells me exactly what he has to show me. And sometimes he tells me, you know what, Steve, just hack it. Just get through it. I'm not going to talk to you right now. I will tell you later. And usually that's what he does. In any case, he promises wisdom liberally. He gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Then he says, verse 6, but let him ask in faith, with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Double-mindedness does not get you the things that God wants for you. It's single-mindedness that does. Double-mindedness is the idea of somebody who's of two opinions. Yes, God loves me. Oh, I don't know if he does. Yes, God wants to bless me. Oh, I don't know if he does. Yes, God's trying to, it's just this whole back and forth type of thing. And the passage is not talking about doubt in the sense of I don't understand things, because obviously if you're asking for wisdom, the reason you're asking for wisdom is because you don't understand things, right? It's talking about doubt in the sense of I don't really know if God's on my side. I don't really know if God wants to bless me. I don't know if God's not up in heaven laughing at me. I don't know. And at that point, if you've got a person who has that kind of attitude towards God, have you ever talked to somebody and they said, I just think God hates me? And they mean it? You know, when somebody's going through a trial and their immediate reaction is, God hates me, and again, I've had people say that to me, their immediate reaction is, God hates me, and then they're going and asking God for wisdom, God's got something else to do with that person besides give them the answer to why they're going through the trial. And the something else he's got to do with that person is get their head straight about who he is and who they are and what he wants with them. God doesn't hate me. Jesus died for me. There's nobody who has ever died for me. There's most of the people in my life didn't even stick around, much less die for me. And the one who did, I don't have any business coming up to him and questioning whether or not he loves me. That's Jesus. And then on top of it, you know, that whole thing with the Father, you know, I give my son for you. If I ever gave my son for you, traded his life for your life because I had to make a choice and I picked you, you can absolutely understand that for the rest of your life and for the rest of my life, I have never made a bigger sacrifice for anyone than that. And after that happens, you don't have any business questioning my heart for you at that point. You see what I mean? And when the Bible talks about the love that God has for us, it's this overarching love where he's given up everything that he has. And again, you know, if I'm talking about my son or my daughter, if I had to give them up for you, that's, as far as I'm concerned, I could give a rip about the rest of anything that I have. I could give a rip about it. I'd give my house for you before I'd give my son. I'd give my car for you before my son, my truck for you before my son, my horse before my son, everything I've got. I would give for you before I would give my son. If I gave my son for you, I gave everything at that point. And the Bible, when it talks about God's love, that's what it always points to. Jesus died for you. The Father gave his son for you. We don't have any business at that point wondering whether or not God loves us. And that is the thing that God will do with a person who is doubting in this manner, who's back and forth on the issue of whether or not God even cares about them. What he's going to do long before he deals with the trials and giving them wisdom and all that kind of stuff, what he's going to be dealing with long before that is the fact that they need to figure out whether or not he loves them or not. There's nothing else to talk about. We can't move on if you don't have that one down. And so there are basics that God demands from us. It's kind of like trying to do algebra without knowing addition. It's not going to happen. It's like doing geometry without knowing division or multiplication. You're not going to be able to do it. And in your walk with God, moving on to bigger and better things and understanding the reason that you go through some of the trials that you go through, you're not going to be able to figure that out unless you got the basics down. And the basics are God loves you and he has a purpose in your life, and he's not just sitting there going, yeah, whatever. You know, I can know this when I go to God. Verse 6, well, verse 5 flat out tells you, if you lack wisdom, ask of God. He'll give to all liberally without reproach. Who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him, but let him ask in faith. And that's the idea of when I approach God and I ask him for wisdom, I'm not sitting there going, I wonder if he will or if he won't. Maybe he will, maybe he won't. Did he say he will? Right there, did he say that? So is he going to? Is he a liar? No. And you know what, when I come before God, when I was first a Christian, I don't want to minimize this thing because I went through my times of trying to figure this stuff out too and having doubts in different areas. But when I come before God, I keep it pretty simple.
You've been listening to Crosswalk with Pastor Steve Winery. Crosswalk is the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Tri-Cities in Kennewick, Washington. If you're wanting to know more about what it means to follow Christ, then please contact our church office by phone at 509-736-2086. You can also look us up online at calvary-tricities.org. There you will find a wide variety of Steve's teachings to listen to or to download for free. If you want to join us for church sometime, we're located at 10611 West Clearwater Avenue in Kennewick, Washington. Our Sunday service times are 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We also meet on Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. We hope you have been blessed today and will join us again next time on Crosswalk.